It's been 5 years since we talked with this week's guest, Ronnie Rowe. It's always interesting to talk with Ronnie, and we had a terrific conversation about needlework and how his designs are evolving. This week's show is sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery. Things are slowly improving in North Carolina, and the shop is back to its normal hours. Shipments are coming in and going out on a daily basis, so don't hesitate to order your next project online or by calling the shop. Also, be sure to get your Rise Above the Waters ornament kit designed by Jackie DePlessis. You can order the ornament at the Sassy Jack's website, and Kim is donating all profits to the local food bank to help those in need in the Asheville area. In the area and need a break from the hurricane aftermath stress, grab your stitching and head to the shop for an hour or so of needlework zen. Make it a habit to visit the Sassy Jack site and join the Sassy Jack's Facebook group to keep up with new things that will be happening in the near future. Thanks to Sassy Jack's for sponsoring the show, and now our conversation with Ronnie Rowe. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. Back for our second time, Ronnie Rowe, Ronnie Rowe Designs. Ronnie, welcome.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it very much, and I'm glad to be here with you today.
Yeah. Hey, May 19, 2019 was the last time we did a show. That's more than 5 years ago. Can't hardly believe that. Of course, this thing is almost 8 years old, if not 8 years, which is also amazing to me. And then I think the last time we saw each other was the Nashville show just as the pandemic was hitting.
Right before the pandemic. Yep. I got with you that show. That's the last one. And right. That's the last show, the last Nashville show that I did.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you said you weren't going to do anymore. But I remember right. That show because everybody was walking around. Do we shake hands? Do we hug? What do we do? And then we got out of there, and it all hit. And
right. Yeah. Well, before the show, there were even some discussion whether they were even going to have that show because of the pandemic at that time. So but and it all worked out.
Little did we know. Yeah,
little did we know, Gary.
Because I remember because I edited a trade magazine for manufacturing, and shortly after it started, I was getting people wanting to contribute articles on dealing with germs, sanitation in manufacturing, and with the pandemic. And I remember one of my regular columnists wanted to write something. I said, okay, this one time, but I said, I don't want this magazine to become a pandemic magazine for something that should be over in 6 months.
Right.
And boy, how wrong was I, you know?
Really wrong on that one.
Oh, man, not even close. Yeah. And still, I kept it from getting out of control because everybody wanted to have their 2 cents on the pandemic, and now we're not going to do that. But
Well, it was 2000. Yeah,
it was 2020. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. 19 or 20. Yeah, the last time. Well, the last time we did one of these, as you say, was
2019.
So that's been a stretch.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So then, what did the pandemic do to you? Did you keep designing during the pandemic, or did
I did. I actually did more during the pandemic because we weren't able to go places we'd been going, and we pretty much tried to stay in as much as possible. So, I did really much designing during that period of time, and actually the pandemic, my sales kind of went up during the pandemic because I related that to a lot of people staying home, couldn't get out. And so, I came up with some new designs during that period of time. And I've stayed with it ever since. I've pretty much been consistent since we talked the last time. I really haven't let up a whole lot. I mean, I don't have a whole lot else to do, and I really enjoy it. I enjoy it so much. And so I really do. I mean, and so I've stayed with it pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, for those who don't know, I'll put up a picture here in the video, but go back and look at that. And his RonnieRowDesigns.com. Ronnie is known for pen and ink cross stitch patterns, and it's I probably the most unique design approach that we have. I don't know of anybody who's doing anything close to what you've been doing for years with that style. It's such a unique style.
Well, I think there are people out there. There's several people out there now. I look on, I go through and see what's out there. And there are several people doing the same type of thing right now. They're not calling it a pen and ink. They're calling it just black and whites. But there are people that are doing that right now, putting out some designs. And I never, when I first started doing the pen and ink designs, no one else was doing that. And I know that. I was really started that. But I was realistic to know that someone would come by and do that, and they did. And so they've got some out there right now, various subject matters, you name it, they've done it. So, anyway, that's good. Good for them. I'm glad other people can come up with something like that. I really haven't done any pen and ink designs. The last one I did was at the Nashville show, one I call Flight. And Flight was the one I did with Leonardo da Vinci, the space shuttle on it. And that particular picture took a long time to do. That was really the last one that I got into doing
that. I remember at that time you did two or three that had multiple pieces, multiple items in it overlapped, and it really was, you really did some sophisticated stuff there, I thought.
Well, what I did with those, instead of just what I tried to do and envisioned of doing, Gary, was taking various images and impose them on other images and morphing them, if you will, into something else and try to make it all flow, if you will. And it seemed to work very well. And in order to do that, I had several programs that I was using to do that with. And because I tried it myself and I never could get the pixels right to merge. But I worked it all out. Yeah. But the Flight was the last one. And Flight was a very interesting design, because when I left Nashville, I had a shop owner down in Oklahoma wanted to borrow the picture for a model. That was several other things I had. And so, I said, sure. And she was so gracious, say, yeah, I'll send them back when you want them. And anyway, after about 9 months, almost a year, I guess, she decided to send them back to me. And all of them came back, and she packed up Flight and sent it UPS. And I got a notification at UPS that they had destroyed the picture.
No.
They destroyed the whole thing. And my local, and it was at my local UPS. And so I went over there, and I was going to make a claim, and I called the shop owner. They were really upset about it, and they packaged it very well. I know that.
Yeah.
And they had thrown it away without me seeing it and told me that it was not packaged correctly. That's what I was told. And so I came home. It upset me to some degree, because it took so long to do that.
Right.
But it's gone. I won an award with up in the Woodlawn Plantation up D.C.
Yeah.
I won a director's award with that particular design. And so that's the way it goes. I mean, life goes on. I guess I looked at it as if that's losing a picture that I did, if that's the worst thing ever happens in my life, hey, we're okay.
Yeah. I suppose so, but still, that's just a shame. Yeah.
I know, and it's really nothing you can do about it.
Right.
I mean, I tried, so anyway.
Right. You know, that brings up an interesting question, because, you know people like reading books. People will read a book, and then they'll read it again and read it again.
Right.
And I'm not me. I read it once, I'm done. So when it comes to that kind of thing, Do you restitch that, or you're just done with it? No desire.
It's done. It's okay. Done. Now, people, I know a lot of people that they have stitched it and got it framed and it's out there. But my original that I did, I won't do that again.
That was it. Yep. So, okay.
That was it. I had a good time with that. I'm moving on.
Yeah. So when you're designing during the pandemic, and I'm just using that as a point to for the discussion. How is your work evolving? How are you changing? You've done the pen and ink, and now what are you moving to? What?
I've been doing a lot of color. I'm doing more color things now. And one of my biggest problems that I have always had is coming up with an idea, coming up with something that I would be interested in, and doing, and not just the picture. But how I'm going to present the picture, the colors in the picture, and how many I want to use. And you know, I've got several here I'm going to show you here shortly that I've worked on. And that's been my really big challenge, is to come up with something like that. And then kind of take and do a pencil sketch, if you will, something very, very rustic, like you see a lighthouse right here and a ship.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's my next project. Uh-huh. And that's really as far as I've gotten with it right now.
Yeah.
And so you
just etch out.
I etch out what I think that I would want to do.
Yeah.
And that's it right there. That's what I've come up with. And the reason I'm doing the lighthouse is because this past year, I did a picture I call the red bench. I just took a red bench.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see what I could put around that bench, just a simple bench. And one I'm working on right now, I'm working on a cabin with the same concept. So coming up with something, but I have to do that probably 3 times a year, because right now I'm putting out 3 designs a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Four at the max. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't do any more than that.
Just because of the time it takes.
Because the time it takes me and to go through the process, and also the time it takes me to stitch them. Because remember, every one of my designs, I'm stitching these designs. I'm sitting down with my little hoop and my needles and thread. And they take a long time to stitch. The one I'm working on right now, I've been working on approximately 3.5 months of just stitching this thing. And it takes me a while, Gary.
Yeah.
Sure. I know a lot of people put out designs and they just push button. They put them out there. They don't, and they don't stitch them.
Yeah.
And other people. And I guess to a certain extent, that has to do with the complexity of the design, how big the design is. Because I've never, as you well know, I've never put out real small stuff a whole lot. And so I like a challenge if I'm going to do it. And so, and if you're going to go to all this trouble, design it and see, you really want to see what it's going to look like.
Right.
Framed up. So that's what I've always done.
Yeah. And you know, one thing that I always like to call out when I talk about you to others is, you know, people say Aida cloth as a ground cloth is a beginner cloth, and then you need to move on. And you know, your stuff, you do it all on Aida, you know, but it's you're one of those classic examples that Aida is just a ground cloth. It's not a beginner cloth. That you get excellent look out of that, and DMC floss, and you know, you get beautiful pieces. You don't—
Well, the Aida cloth, it's what you put on that cloth to make it look good. It's your design and everything. And as far as DMC, I told you the last video, that's all I've ever used is DMC. And so, I like when I was go to Nashville, the markets, the threads they have out there are absolutely gorgeous. They are good looking. They're wonderful threads, but just not for me.
Right. But that's the point that I like to make, is that it isn't necessary to get attractive, good-looking, sophisticated needlework. Aida cloth and DMC will more than do the job every time.
Well, it'll do the job. And plus, one thing I've always tried to do is on my designs, I tried to, first of all, the black and whites, or the pen and inks, that was just one color, the black 310. And I switched over some years after that, and I started using the 844, which is the dark gray. And the reason why is because on the white material, I was using 18 count ADA, you could see some of the stitches behind it.
Oh, okay.
With the black. And I wanted to kind of eliminate a little bit of that. So I started using 844. And it's the same effect and same everything. But what I normally do is I pick how many colors I want in the design. I've seen some patterns out there. My gosh, I think they've used every color the DMC has. And but, you know, I pick a certain amount of colors because, excuse me, but to keep in mind that the consumer is going out there buying the materials, buying the floss. And, you know, I want to keep it relatively cheap for someone, or relatively cheap. And so that's always been pretty much my concept. And also the DMC, I mean, you can get that just about anywhere.
Right, right.
I mean, that's available, where some of the other flosses might not be relative available to a lot of people.
Right. Yeah, that is something I want to, I mean to ask you every time, so we're going to get it in right here.
Okay.
Is with your pen and ink pieces, you have a lot of single dots that sit out in space.
Right, right.
And you talk about moving from black to a dark gray so you can't see it as easily. How do you approach that? Do you have a mental limit for how far you'll carry a thread?
Yes, I won't carry a thread over 5 stitches on 18 count.
Okay.
Right. Somewhere around that. If I have something sitting out in space somewhere, I'll just do the one stitch and tie it off.
Okay. All right.
That's what I do. I won't carry that thread over a long, long ways. And so that's always been what I've been looking at. But my color ones, like I say, I limited when I started design, like the one I showed you here, the boat and the lighthouse I'm going to do, I'll pick probably 30 colors. I'll go with 30 colors, and that's about it.
And then that's kind of your limit then, yeah.
That's my limit, because the way I'm doing it a whole different way now than when we talked last time. Uh-huh. I mean, my approach to the way I'm doing it is probably different than what anybody does, because I'm using approximately 3 different programs right now. Once I get a sketch up, I'm using something called Affinity Designer and Affinity Photo. Affinity Photo is for a Macintosh. It's for the Mac program. I think they have it PC too, but it's the same thing as Photoshop, but it's got a lot more capabilities. It was a program. It was very difficult, or somewhat difficult, to learn to get the concept of what they're doing with the program, because I'll take each one of the colors, like if I got color 1, 2, 3, 4 DMC numbers, and I will assign a layer to each one of those colors.
Okay.
Like if I have 30 colors, I'll have 30 layers on this thing.
Yeah.
And when I take my pencil sketch and I scan everything in, I will pick those colors I want, and I change them as I'm going along the color, but I keep the same layer. And I'll work on a block of 10 by 10, and I'll put that in Affinity Designer.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to work really well. And after I get everything there, my layers, and I'll work on one square, 10 by 10 square. Yeah. And then I'll take that square, and I will rasterize that and put it with another square with Affinity Designer, then move everything over to Affinity Photo to do all kinds of effects that I want to do, like fading something in. I had one design I did. It was back in time, where I had 2 buildings and I had an old truck and an old car in front of it. And I wanted to fade those cars, that car and truck, into the building so you could see the car and the building.
Yeah.
And it's all done with cross stitch.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And so, it's subtle, every shade in there, with a lot of yellows and light tans, I mean, you had to really go from one shade to the other to get that effect.
Right.
So I doing all that kind of stuff, and I find that that really interests me. I think that's cool to be able to sit there and figure out something.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I mean, just to do it.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you that you use Affinity, because I have used for my paying job, used Creative Cloud, Adobe Creative Cloud forever. And here, just in the last couple of weeks, the company that I've been working for is closing, and so I'm retiring. I'm done. I mean, I'll be 70 in February, so enough is enough, you know. But to continue to do FiberTalk, I need a Photoshop software program, and Adobe is $60 a month forever. I'm not paying that. I ended up with Affinity Photo.
That's what I use.
Yep. And I'm telling you, Ronnie, I can see why you use it, because I really like it. I mean, there's some adjustment for me using Photoshop for years, but it is really well done. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a type of program. I've been through all the tutorials on that. I've really practiced. I sit down here and practice on that stuff. And if you run into a problem, you can always go to YouTube, and they have videos of people in YouTube that are really into Affinity Photo to show you various techniques. And one technique I've been using, I did a piece called Back in Time, where I took a clock and everything, and I want to explode the back of it out and everything into space. And that program allows you to do that. And remove pixels and paint. Oh, it's a great program.
Yeah. Yeah, and that Back in Time is one of my favorites. Yeah.
I did a picture of a lock.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lock. My grandfather, my mother's home place back close to where we live now, I got out and shared a whole bunch of stuff. I got an old saw they used to back and forth back in the early 1900s. My grandfather used. I got his toolbox, and I got this lock. And so I think, well, I'm going to do a picture of a lock.
Yeah.
Well, who's going to buy it? I mean, it just interests me. And so what I did with that lock was I colored it in Affinity Photo, Designer and Photo, and that's the color scheme I came out with, and I apologize for the glass.
Yep.
But I thought that was kind of cool.
Yep, it is.
The way it turned out, you know, that's a whole lot of colors in this thing.
Yep.
And so that's what Affinity, and that's really when I started with Affinity Photo. But if you're using it, you'll love it. I mean, I really highly recommend it, and you don't have to pay $60 a month for it either, Gary.
Yeah, I know. and that was the thing, was when I lost access to Creative Cloud that someone else was paying for.
Right.
I thought, boy, that's all I know, because I was using a Premiere Pro to deal with video.
Sure. Yeah.
So I needed a video thing too, and I thought, well, I'm just going to suck it up and pay it, and so I signed up. And it was buyer's remorse. You know, 2 days later, it's like $60 every month for as long as I want to use it? No, I can't. I have
never done anything like that. I'm not going to do that.
So, right.
But anyway, it works. It works well for me, Gary.
So there are other products, the design, what they have, design, and they have one more. So those all are equally as good then.
Right. They've got, I use Affinity Designer.
Designer.
Designer, I start off with Affinity Designer. Then I go into Affinity Photo. They got Affinity Publisher.
Yes, that's the
and
one.
And I don't use Affinity Publisher, because when I publish one of mine or put my charts out, I've got a process I go through. I just use Keynote. And what that is same as a PowerPoint, if you will, for Mac. Keynote. It's real easy. I've got it all set up with grids and everything that I want. And so it's really, that's really cool. It works for me.
No, and I would suggest Keynote for PowerPoint presentations is by far better than PowerPoint.
Oh, I think it is. I think it is. Sure. Yeah. Microsoft, they wanted some money for their PowerPoints and everything. Yeah. Keynote and Mac, it's all built in. I mean, right. And I can do a lot of things with my publishing on that and printing.
Right. That's a much better program.
Yeah.
So when you pen and ink, you've done enough of those. Then how did you change your design? What did you evolve into? More color, more detail. How did you
more color, more detail, and a lot of them less color and more detail.
Okay.
And if you will, I'm going to show you one.
Yeah.
My red bench. This is one I did this year. This is a new design, and it's out there. It's a big design. Okay. I'm going to talk. It's a glass on this, so I apologize. But my red bench, I wanted a bench, so I put a house back here.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a path going back. But what I liked about this the most is the trees in the back. There's only about five colors of blues and pales in those trees.
Yeah.
And I wanted to fade those back and make them so you could still see the trees. And the ones I really like are right here.
Yeah.
Coming down. And there's actually a tree along this side right here.
Mm-hmm.
Coming down. And so there's not many colors in this, but the effect I wanted to give on the red bench was something of depth going back and looking, you know, that way.
Yeah.
So you put a little house, you do some coloring on it, put a little slant roof. That was easy to do. And, you know, and so the trees. But that's the effect. The effect I wanted to get was that the effect of it being, cold outside, kind of pre-winter, and going back into those blue trees. I don't know. It interests me, Gary.
Right. Well, it works because you got the right blues for that.
I got
cold
the right
snow
blues
for that
right.
cold snow effect,
right.
And it impresses me every time I see one of your pieces. The depth, the visual depth that you are able to achieve. And it isn't always just a vanishing line thing. You know, you do it with color and color intensity, and it's always effective for me.
It's not using a lot of color, but it's using just enough color. Because remember, it's all white material.
Right.
And all the white on it is a material. I very rarely ever stitch with white.
Uh-huh.
I don't even use white.
Yeah.
I let the material be the white itself, and that's just what I do.
Right.
And so, I look at them, and when I finish one, I'll look at it, and I say, well, you know, that's could have maybe, it looks pretty good. And then the wife will look at it, and she'll say, well, I would have changed that. So that goes. But that's been for 43 years that's been going on.
yeah. But that's, you know, many designers have a spouse who they collaborate, you know, they get some input, get some objective input.
Sure.
And I assume that after 43 years, obviously you're not offended by it, but it's helpful to you, you know?
Well, I listen and I shake my head and I've been married for 53 years, and I've learned to say yes, dear. And so I just go with that, but I do what I want to do.
Right.
Pretty much. So.
But an objective view like that can sit in your mind, and a few days later, you know, maybe she's right. Maybe we'll give it
a try.
That's
right. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's worth it. Yeah. So,
right. But the red bench, that one I did, and then I came up with the one I'm working on now. If I like show you, I'm going to show you what I'm working on.
Okay.
This
yeah,
is
that'd
a
be
piece.
Great.
This
yeah.
is, this is, you're going to love this. And I took it out of my hoop, and this has not been washed. It hadn't been framed. I haven't finished it. I'm still stitching, but here is my cabin.
Oh yeah.
What I'm coming up with. Yep. And where I, and now it looks, don't look because of the wrinkles. Of course, I haven't finished it.
Right. Yeah.
But then I'm going to have down here, you're going to have a stream coming up here, the water in here, and I'm finished the trees coming down. I put some ducks in it and the sky, you know. So anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be all right. When I get through with it, it'll be.
See, in that, you know, you say you let white, let the cloth be your white, but you're getting almost a full coverage effect without the full coverage.
Right. This is not, no, I don't do any full coverage.
Yeah.
No, all of this up in here is white, and some of the in this roof here is white.
Right.
The shingles and down, and so, no.
But you're getting that effect though, and it works.
Right, yeah. Right. And like I say, this is my next one that I'll be putting out. And
yeah.
After I finish this one with the, I did the bench, I did the cabin, and now I wanted to do another cabin or something. So I'm gonna do a lighthouse with a boat. I'm gonna do something like that. That's the process. So that's where I'm heading.
Yeah.
At least I think I'm heading that way. I hope I'm heading that way.
When you have design ideas, do you write them down or do you just let them sit in your head and mature?
Just sit there and think about it and think what I want to do next. And like after I know that I'm going to be doing this boat with this lighthouse.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to call it or anything. I know I'm going to do that. But after that, I have no idea. I swear, I don't have any idea what I'm going to do.
So you just let them come to you then.
I'll think of something. I'll come up with something.
Yeah. Because interesting, because some artists will have so many ideas that they can't get them out. And then there's other ideas that, or other artists that, you know, something will come along and inspire them, and then they're off and running with that one. And it sounds like you get more of that then.
I get more of that, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm also doing designs for people. I do a lot of custom work for people. I get a lot of that. So. And I'll do them. I don't do the stitching, obviously, but I will do the design process. They send me pictures.
Okay.
They'll send me a little picture of their dog, their cat, their grandkids, their house, you name it.
Yeah.
I said, send me a picture. And what I do is I take a look at it, figure out if I can do anything. I preliminary do something, and then I get back with the person. And if I can't do it, I just tell them. I said, I can't do it. I don't take any money up front, none of that. I just see if I can do it first. See if I could come up with something that looked good, what they want. And
you mentioned the cats. That's your series of cats. Still my favorite because just the color in the eyes and then everything.
It's all, they're all black and whites. And it's the eyes, the color, and I call all that stuff, it's in the eyes or it's
right.
something. Yeah. Okay, but it's all in the eyes. And in each one of those, I got one cat with green eyes, yellow, and you can change it to anything you want.
Right.
You know,
right.
I put on the chart, if you want the cat to have blue eyes, put blue eyes in these in these places. So
yeah, just still timeless.
The cats.
Timeless, effective, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know how I got into cats. I don't have a cat. I just thought two cats. I don't know.
Yep. Now, I remember asking you the first time I saw him if you had a cat, and you said, no, I just like to do cats.
Do cats, so.
Right. Yeah. But they're just timeless. You know, that's the thing. That it's not something that goes in and out of favor.
Right.
They're just,
right.
You know, who can complain about a cat, you know? Well, I
and I got into cats. Then I did some dogs. I did some pictures of dogs, and then I got into the musical instruments. I wanted to do the musical instruments. I got into that. You know, the guitar. I did a violin and a piano and all that. So I don't know what phase I was in. I have no idea. I can't play any music. I can listen to it, but so that's I'm just involved, and I'm just.
Yeah, that series of instruments, that was really effective. But, am I right? That's when you really started to bring in more color in that time, or was it before?
I think it was a little bit before that. I really put a lot of color into it when I first started with the Williamsburg series of all the buildings of Williamsburg. They were all in color.
Yeah.
And, I sit down and I look at those at some time, and it's been a long time, and they're still popular, the Colonial Williamsburg series. And I look at them and I think, how in the world did I really do that? Because there was no computers, Gary.
Yeah.
There was nothing. I sit down like we talked before, and people out there aren't going to know what a repetigraph pen is.
Yeah, there you go.
You do.
Oh, I know. You bet.
And I sit down. I sit down and I got it. And I mean, I really I kind of, in a way, wish that all designers, all people out there now that grew up with computers, they ought to have to sit down and do it the way we used to do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When Judith Sandy, when Pat Colson, when all of us, when they sit down and had to do it that way.
Right. Yep.
And that I mean, it was really a challenge.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, you and I are both old enough to know about repetigraph pens and, because I was using those when I first became an editor and everything was on a typewriter. And then all of your artwork was hand drawn.
Mm-hmm.
And so for basic graphics, I learned from our artist how to do basic graphics because he was so swamped. And so I ended up getting a set of repetigraph pens and a T-square and a drawing board, an architect board, and learning how to do
that
same kind of stuff. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Right. Yeah, the old-fashioned way. Yeah.
That's the way I started. And then, my gosh, then all of a sudden computers came in, and my gosh, things were so much easier.
Yeah, yeah.
Seemed like so, but anyway.
Yeah, no, I remember an artist back in that time. He was highly skilled airbrush artist, and he did the boards for Bally pinball tables.
Yeah, yeah.
He did those boards, all airbrushed by hand. And then computer graphic design came along, and I remember him taking classes and battling to learn how to do that when he knew he could do it just as fast at that time by hand.
And then,
he gets over the hump, and now he's able to do it faster on the machine and change things.
Well, the way I got into the pen and ink. Started that really is I was at a local art show in our area, and there was a young lady sitting down there with a repetigraph pen, and she was doing some of the most elaborate pen, you know, just making dots on it. And I sit down, and I remembered looked at her, and I was cross-stitching. I was still doing Williamsburg and things. And I looked at that, and I thought, my God, I wonder how that would look in cross stitch.
Yeah,
that's how the pen and ink. That's how I came up with that.
Yep,
was by her watching that lady sit there and do that, and she was fantastic. She really.
Oh, it's amazing how that works because the artist we had before the guy who did airbrushing, we had for every author in the magazine, he would do a pen and ink. We'd take a picture of the author. And he'd do a pen and ink, and that was kind of our signature thing. We'd have a pen and ink, just like you do, and same thing. And to watch, sit here there and watch him with the repetigraph pens, different sizes, making dots. And he'd sit there and he'd start with nothing. And next thing you know, you come back 3 or 4 hours later, and the face is starting to come in. It's just astounding how that works.
Yeah, I know it was. I sit there and watch this lady. I forgot what she was doing, what she was working on, but my gosh, it was unbelievable what she was doing. Just sitting there with that pen.
Yep.
Putting
dots. To be able to see that in your mind.
Right. And so I don't know what the first one I did, the music teacher's house or one of the Williamsburgs I did in the black and white. And then I did an American Indian scene, Native American. I had those. And then the flight and all of that. And people would look at that and say, gosh, it takes a long time to do it. Well, it really doesn't take a long time to stitch. You're using one color.
Everything
on white, you see, that's the material.
Right.
Now, a lot of questions had come up in the past. Could you do the pen and inks on different color materials? And you can, but you got to pick the right material, I think, in my opinion. And one thing, So that would be a challenge, because I've always just assumed everybody in the cross stitch world is using a height of 18 cal white material.
Right, right, yeah.
I mean, is there any other material?
Yeah.
So, but they are all the new specialty, you know, the dyed materials. I don't know if you could do one of those on that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
And have it, and get the effect. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, and that's interesting. If you look at it from a person who just wants to stitch, wants to get some patterns to stitch, you know, to go by 18th count Ada, and a bunch of DMC colors, that is a really kind of a low cost entry into cross stitch.
Yeah,
because
it is.
You could just go buy a bunch of cloth, and a bunch of colors, and then take for instance your patterns. And just have at it.
And have at it. And because all of my patterns are just X's, like I've told you before, I don't do any back stitching.
Right.
I don't do any quarter stitches or any of that. It's just all full stitches. Yeah. And it's a very basic cross stitch. But my patterns and using the DMC, and like you say, the IATA, I use 18. They sell it 16. I know at Joann's they sell it. They sell it all over Michael's. You know, it's easy to come by.
Right.
And and it's fairly inexpensive to do.
Right.
I mean, how about a needle and a hoop?
Yep.
But I know that I have seen patterns at a market. I know you have too, where some of them somebody wanted to stitch them. You can spend quite a bit of money on materials.
Yeah.
If you're talking about specialty threads and you're talking about, I mean, it's you can get into some serious money. But I mean, they're gorgeous when you finish it. It's good. I mean, sure, absolutely. Yeah. But
I have a handful of them sitting right here in front of me. Yeah. Just I know what you mean. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. But that's the thing, is you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
No, and I think, as my opinion, just Ronnie Rowe's opinion, still think that you can have a good-looking piece when it's framed. Like I've told people, they say, well, your designs and everything, I've seen them, and they look good and everything. I said, well, if you look at my design of this cabin I just showed you where I'm stitching, if you go down to Walmart and get you a 29-cent frame to put that in, it's not going to look all that great.
Mm-hmm.
You got to frame it. It has to be framed up.
Yeah,
I think right. And so I build all my own frames. I do my own framing.
Yeah.
And so each one until it's finished. None of my cross stitch designs are finished until the wire is on the back. The wire is on the back of the frame.
Uh-huh.
Like this one right here. I just show you until the wire is on the back of the frame.
Yep.
And I built the frame and matted and everything. It's not finished.
So you actually cut the wood for the frame then?
Yeah, I go down to Lowe's or I go down to Home Depot and I buy the wood.
Okay.
I buy strips. I normally buy strips of select pine, and it's maybe 2 inches or something like so, the width of the frames I do. And then I'll put that on the router. I'll do the rabbet on it or anything else, and I'll cut the miters, put it all together, and whether or not I paint it or stain it or what I'm going to do to it. So, yeah, I do all of that. I just do. I enjoy doing that. I get out there. I got this router, and I got a table saw. And,
Why not?
Yeah.
Fun. So, when it's all done, you created everything, stem to stern.
Everything. Yeah. Well, I didn't go there and get sand off the beach and make the glass. I have to go somewhere to get the glass or the mat board. I buy sheets of mat board. I cut all my own mat.
But you cut them, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah, I cut it all.
Yeah. That's so neat that you make the frames, though. That's great. So you just straight lumber and cut it up and
cool. sand it, and that's my frame for one of these. So this picture of this red bench, I went down, I was buying the mat board at a Michael's, and so I went down and bought a piece of a sheet of red mat board and white mat board. That's what I wanted to use. I came home, laid it all out, cut the white mat board, cut the red mat board, put it all together. Didn't measure right on the red mat board.
Oh no.
So I had to go down and get another piece of mat board. So I got in the car, aggravated, back down 5 miles down the road, go back to Michael's, get another sheet of red, came home, put it out there, and cut it wrong again.
No.
I swear, I cut it wrong again. Got in the car, went back to Michael's, get another piece of red, and I sit there. I don't know what I was thinking.
Because now that's a bad day.
Right. Because my outside mat board, you have a quarter inch for the inside mat board, so you can just see it around it. And right. I kept going the other way.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Instead of subtracting a quarter, I added a quarter, and it was all messed up. So. Thank God.
Oh, man.
But that happens to everybody, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, that's the point where you just put it down and go take a nap because,
Right.
You're not getting anywhere. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Hey, speaking of benches, tell me about the help one where you're raising money.
Help. The way I come up with an idea, I was coming back from the YMCA one day, and we're at this big intersection, and there's a gentleman always standing out by the light, homeless person, looking for some money, handout, if you will. Mm-hmm. And traffic's going back, and I got thinking, this gentleman's out there, and I don't know his situation, and he's sitting here in Yorktown, Virginia. But he's not just in Yorktown, he's all over this country. Every city, it doesn't have to be a big city. Every city we're in, we see that on a daily basis of somebody out. We don't know their situation. We don't know who they are. We don't know. We bypass them. Sometimes maybe we give them a dollar or a quarter or something, but we just they're out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And so I got thinking about that, and I said, here I am, been doing cross stitch for 43 years, been doing this stuff, and had fun, and so I said, I want to do a piece of a homeless person, and I want to call this thing, and it came to me immediately. I want to call it Help, just Help, and. I said, I'm going to do this thing. I didn't know what I want. And I just got through with the red bench.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, how do I want to portray this? What do I want to do? How do I want to do this? And I want to do it. And my charts are in shops. They're in Estee, all over the internet.
Yep.
And I sell these things. And I said, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this. And I'm going to make the designs, and I'm going to publish these things. And 100% of everything I receive profit for this, I'm going to give to our local rescue mission.
Mm-hmm.
And ever what that number is, I had no idea what the number would be, but ever what dollar amount that was, I was going down and give it to the rescue mission. And to back up a little bit, for the past year or so, I've been doing videos on YouTube, Ronnie mm-hmm. Rowe Designs. I've been doing that, and I've been telling people on YouTube of what I'm going to do. And I've had fairly decent response to that. And so anyway, I decided to do a design of that, and that was my whole goal. Yeah. And I finished it up and talked to some people, directed to why, and they put out some information about what I was doing. And so Been selling a few of them. And like I say, 100% of every sale I get, and they're $16. And I take out, obviously, the shipping and all that and everything. But my profit, my formula is for my profit, every bit of it's going to the rescue. I'm going to go down November the 1st and write them a check and do a video at the rescue mission of me giving a check to those people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not taxed. I don't know how to do the tax deductible for people. Some lady asked me, well, what about my tax deductible? Yeah. Can you give me? I said, no, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm not involved. If you send me $16 and I take out for my shipping and my cost and everything, if my profit on that is $10, it's right. The whole bit's going there. That's the only thing I can tell you. I don't know why anybody would want to write off $10 or $16. Right. But anyway, that's beside it. Right. And so anyway, that's what I did. I came up with a design and built the frame, another one of my frame buildings. And it's kind of a large design. And this is what I came up with. Let me see if I can get this thing. It's heavy.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks heavy.
I took a gentleman right here. I took this gentleman and put him in. And I wanted to do a skyline of a city.
Yeah.
But I didn't want it to stand out. It's kind of like the red bench and those trees you remember.
Yeah.
And I just put a lot of little dots, look like tall buildings, and I put a bench there and a trash can. And that's what I came up with help.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this. This is a navy blue. I built this. I spray painted it navy blue and the matte and the white inside right here. And but anyway, that was help.
No, it's a powerful
image.
All
done in cross stitch. And there's a gentleman sitting there with a sign that says help.
Yeah. No, it's powerful. And
so that's what I came up with. And so far it's been doing fairly well. I can't say it's done as well as I was hoping it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I guess my expectations were, wow, everybody in your planet Earth is going to buy one of these, which I, thinking back now, we're all inundated with so much in today's world about, you know, helping the needy. We save the whales, we save the elephants, a lot of people it's worked out so far pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I'm gonna cut it off November the 1st.
I'm
gonna do it. And so that gives, and it's out there on ronnieroe.designs.com. That'll take you right there.
Right.
Very easy to get one.
Yeah, to the Etsy shop. Yeah. So
right.
November 1st, if people buy after that, will you still do another payment? Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. But I'm going down and doing one payment in October. So if I get some more coming in, I'm not planning on capitalizing any profit from this design at all.
Yeah.
If it goes next, I don't care what it is. I'm just not.
Yeah. Well, it's really it's
so it's powerful. And hopefully, you know, it helps somebody a little bit less fortunate than what you and I are.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's Ronnie Rose small. This is my one small footprint for mankind. I don't know. So it's, that's an idea. And I saw this gentleman and I still see him today. It's the same gentleman when I come by there, standing down there. And so, you know, and it can't be just in Yorktown. It's got to be all over this country. It's all over the country.
We can all find them.
So I figured for a cross stitch design, $16. Hey, maybe it won't kill you. And if somebody wants, I've had people ask me my designs. Well, you know, that's a lot. You know, can I get? Had you come up with $16 or $12 for one? I said, I don't know. Sound like a good number to me.
Yeah,
I put a lot of time. It just sounds like a good number. I don't know.
Right.
I can't answer that.
Yeah.
I want to tell them what I would tell you, Gary, and that is I checked it over with my marketing department.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I have no marketing department.
Right. No, I know your marketing department. Yeah. It's pretty effective though. It's a very effective department. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, this picture helped. That's how that came about.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it goes. We'll see how it goes.
That's great.
And
I wanted to ask you now, ronnieroedesigns.com, then that goes to your Etsy store.
That will go to my Etsy store.
And so people can buy designs as a download or print. Are they both?
They can buy this one right here as a download, a PDF. You go to Etsy store and this one help right here, all you have to do is it's very easy to do. is once you pay the $16 to Etsy, you download that design right to your computer and you get a PDF of the same thing that you would get a hard copy.
Yeah.
Same
thing. Are you finding more people do downloads than printed ones, or is it still a good mix?
It's a good mix, but I've got a lot of my Williamsburg, my pen and ink Williamsburg, some of those down as downloads, and they download those.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean it's easy to do, and so.
Yeah.
And I'm actually, Gary, except for this one help, I haven't sent this one help to any distributor, to Hoffman, to nobody. No one has this but me.
Yeah.
And as far as the Williamsburg, the pen and inks and everything, some of those are on, they're on Etsy as a download. But my Williamsburg series, I'm the only one who carries it. No shop. Well, I can't say that. We got a brand new shop last year in Williamsburg called Liberty Hill Needleworks.
Okay.
And it's a great shop, and I've given them a lot of things. But besides that shop, they're the only one carries my old stuff. And so,
well, I will say that you've got that on your website, that package where you can get all the Williamsburg designs.
Right. Get all of them.
That is a deal.
I think
there.
All 15 designs. These are my original. What am I talking here now? I mean, bear with me 1 second, Gary.
Yep.
I know. My marketing department didn't help me out with organization, but for instance, these are my original Williamsburg leaflets.
Yeah.
You know, all this one here, I just pulled out, happened to be Christiana Campbell's Tavern. And I've got 15 of those, and on Etsy, all 15 of them for $60.
Yeah, no, that's a heck of
a deal.
50,
all 15. I think it's a good deal. I mean, and all 15 of these will keep you stitching for the next a long time.
Yep.
But anyway, that's what I do. You can get all those, so.
No, but that's, you know, if that kind of architecture, if you like that kind of architecture,
right.
You can put together a nice a set of pieces that would hang on a wall as a group.
Sure, absolutely. Every one of these, it's a Colonial Williamsburg thing. I mean, if you got a home,
when you look at all of them together, you can see how you could pick a grouping out and have a nice display on a wall.
Sure, no problem at all. But again, like I tell people, you got to frame them up good, though. I mean, any cross stitch piece has to be framed up.
Yep.
So,
but don't come to you to make their frames. You make your own frames.
I'll make the frames.
Okay.
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay.
Nobody's going to pay me what I want to make a frame. No, I don't. So.
Yep. All right, Ronnie, let's wrap it up right here.
Okay, buddy.
We got to get together more often.
It's been what, 5 years, 4 years since we talked, and so when you first had me on, you said, "Hey, this is our male week. I'm going to a guy who's cross stitching," and I'm sure there are more men into it now than it was back.
So, yeah, I think there are. Yeah, I think there are. Yep, I hope so.
Who? I tell you, I had a question asked me, lady, on one of my videos. I've been doing this for 43 years. Who's been in this the longest? You're in the industry. Who is out there that really has been doing designing and everything? I know that Sue Hillis, my friend Sue, had done it, and she for a while. And I don't know.
I'm trying to come. Wow.
Because that's a long time to stay at it. I mean, keep doing. And I pretty much remain... Still doing it.
Well, now you got me thinking, because we talk to people other than cross stitchers, and so now I can think of a couple of needlepoint designers that have been doing it an awful long time,
right?
And are still turning out stunning stuff. And then there's a couple of embroidery. Oh man, now you got me thinking. Wow.
I don't know. The only ones I can think of when I went to market was Sue Hillis, and I haven't had any contact with Sue in a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I know she had been in it longer than I had.
Yeah.
And and I'm talking about people that are still doing it, still.
Right. Oh yeah, you know, actively
coming up
designing.
With an ideas. Yeah, actively designing, because I'll be 78 in February. So.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, I don't know how much longer I'm gonna do this. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, it's not exactly hurting you, so you know.
Well, it ain't hurting me. It keeps me, you know. I mean,
keeps your mind going.
It's the only thing. It's the only thing I do in my life that I have to think about.
Yeah.
I'm serious. That I have to, I get up, I go to the Y, I go swimming, I talk to my buddies, I do a garden, I do blah, blah, everything in life. This is the only thing I do that I have to sit down and plan and think about.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess that's good.
Sure it is. Sure.
Yeah,
but, you know, if you look at it as we get older, you have to keep the mind going, you know.
Sure,
you have to do that. But you know, look at what you've done, moving to computerized design,
right?
You know, learning two or three programs and how to layer things and put them together.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's not to be sneezed at. I mean, that's a significant. That's hard for people many years younger, you know.
Yeah, but it's Well, first of all, you got to be interested in it. You got to want to. You got to be interested in doing it. So,
yeah, but no, it's great.
Now
I got to know who's been at it the longest. I got to find the person.
Yeah, you know, I guess I get the most enjoy every one of these things from the first one I ever did, right up to this one, help the one I'm working on right now.
Yeah,
every one of them I have to enjoy. I really do. It has to be for me. I do them for me.
Yeah.
I really do. And if somebody on SD wants to purchase a pattern, fine. If they don't want to purchase a pattern, fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
Right. You enjoyed it.
I just enjoyed doing it and everything. Like I told you before, and I'll tell you again before we leave, the best thing ever happened to me in cross stitches years ago. And I still have the letter here. I got a letter from a gentleman outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that did one of my charts and told me, a long letter he wrote me, how much it helped him during his chemotherapy.
Oh.
And man, it made it worthwhile.
Yep.
Everything was fine. Because, I mean, because he had sit down through chemotherapy and stitched my charts. And man, that makes you feel good.
Wow.
That really does.
Yep.
You can't put a price tag on that stuff.
Nope.
So it's all worth it. So
yeah, that's all you need right there. One time.
Yep.
All right, we're gonna end on that. Thanks, Ronnie.
Okay.
Thanks to everyone for listening.
All right. Hey, hope everyone does well. And I'm gonna tell people that what I tell them on my YouTube thing I do when I leave them with. Don't sit down all day with a needle and thread and cross stitch. Get outside. Go get some exercise. Do some things outside if the weather's pretty. Don't sit down and stitch all the time.
Yep. Take a break. Yep.
Go get some. Take a break. Get yourself some exercise.
Yep. All right, Ronnie.
Okay,
thanks.
Gary. All right. Thank you, Gary.